Well, again, welcome. If we haven't seen you or if you're new with us in a while, we want to just give you a special welcome. My name's Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here at Vintage Church Midtown. And I've got some family announcements for you guys. A lot of times the way we give out those announcements are on these event cards. You may have seen them as you walked in. The front page talks about how we have turned 15 years old as a church. This Vintage Church as one church that started in downtown Raleigh. We're going to be doing a monster blast party on November 17th. All the information's here from 4 to 8 p.m. There's bonfires, there's cornhole tournaments, there's s'mores, there's hay rides. I think there's like tons more stuff. We've got it all listed here. We want you, your family, to come be part of this celebration. It is at Corral. Which again, all the details are on here. It's 4 to 8, November 17th. We would love for you guys to make it there with us. Hopefully, also, you've heard about a big move that we have coming up. We've been talking about it for the last, 4 weeks. We're going to just keep on talking about it for a while. We're in the process of getting all the details together to move from Sanderson High School to Trinity Academy. Do you guys remember what week we're moving? December 3rd. Hey, it's there, okay? So if you come here on December 3rd, we're not going to be here at 10 a.m. December 3rd, which we wouldn't normally be anyway. That was always the holidays celebration. I don't know if you remember. So December 3rd, we are going to be at Trinity Academy, which is up off of Bailiwick. So if you go up Creedmoor and you almost get to 540, it's like Bailiwick's right before that. You'll make a left, and you go to Trinity Academy, and we will be there 10 a.m. December 3rd. We're doing this move because we feel like is going to just do a lot for our mission as a church. Our mission as a church is to make disciples, and we really have seen, a lot of you, when we did our demographic study, a lot of us are North Raleigh folks. And we just hope that even a move like this really can engage our neighbors and the people that we work with and beside of, our family that lives right around us. We want to invite you all to be praying about someone that you want to invite to join us. We call that at our church, who are you going to love? Love one. We hope that you have one person at least that you're really praying for them to see God's grace in their life. Man, who would that be in this move? Would you consider that? Would you talk about it in your community groups? We would love for you to make that Sunday a week that you invite them. We are going to have food that Sunday. So the first Sunday that we're there, we're going to have a big potluck. Well, we're going to provide a lot of the main stuff, but we'll ask you guys to bring some sides as well. We will get you the details of that. I wanted to make one other quick announcement on this event card. There's more details on here, more events. But one event that went so awesome was our women's event where Fabian Anderson taught the Vintage Women Durham and Vintage Women Midtown joined together and did a conversation on race and the gospel. They're actually going to do a follow-up conversation on this, which I'm particularly very excited that Fabian's leading. This event's going to be at our house. The details of our house are here. So if you're crazy, just don't think about my address. Just don't keep that. I'm just kidding. I'm like totally kidding. Anybody, we want you, particularly women, to join us for that day. Dads, we don't have childcare that morning because I'm not going to watch like all your kids. But more than that, please watch your kids so that your wives can get out to this event. This is a follow-up conversation again on the race and the gospel conversation. That just was an incredible time. If you weren't able to make it, I would really encourage you. Some of you had told me, hey, did we have sound from that? Could we get involved? Come to this one. It is coming up on, I think it's the 11th is the day. It's the 11th. That's Saturday at our house. So please put that on your calendars. All the other events are on that card. I'm going to pray for us. We've got some cool stuff to talk about today, how God's changed us and he's made us into his ambassadors. That's like a really big deal. So we're going to dig in. I'm going to pray for us and ask that God would just use his word in a powerful way in us. Let me pray for us this morning. God, above everything this morning, I pray that people would understand that you are inviting them to know you this morning in the most real way, to know that your presence is constant on them, that your love has never stopped towards them. God, that your grace cannot be outdone, cannot be out-sinned. God, would you show us that we are just totally new because of what you have done in Jesus Christ this morning? God, for those who do not know you, God, I pray that you would just open up their eyes this morning. God, and even help those that feel blind, that feel sick, that feel like there's something deeply wrong within them. God, would you remind them this morning that you, Jesus Christ, those are the people that you came to, that you embraced, that you touched with your own hands. You have loved those people. You heal those people. God, every person in this room has been made for an incredible purpose, and that purpose is to know you and to make you known. And so, God, would you set us on this purpose? Would you help us see how we thrive in this creation that you've made? God, would you help us above every single thing glorify you this morning? It's in His, in your great name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. 500 years ago, or about 500 years ago, an unknown German monk nailed some paper to a door of a German church. And it started an incredible thing, this movement of really religious freedom in some ways. It's the beginning, October 31st, 1517, 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 statements or his 95 theses to the door of the German church. And that began what's known as the Protestant Reformation. And these people, the word Protestant, if you don't know, a major part of that word is protest. We're protesting parts of the Catholic doctrine that really felt, the Protestant reformers thought, man, the Catholic Church is just missed. And these group of people, Martin Luther was one of them, John Calvin was a major name if you've heard of these guys, they really stood for five main themes. And we're going to see some of these themes today, but even just in light of where we are in history and how, man, I'm thinking this week a lot about, man, 500 years ago, God did a major work in his people and in his church through these men. These men were concerned with five things. First, they loved Scripture. They were all about Scripture. They said, look, Scripture alone is what we're going to be all about. You know, men can have their opinions, but if men's opinions don't line up with God's word, then we're just not going to we're going to value God's word over man's opinion. Second thing they're all about was faith. They were saying faith is what the Bible is all about. It's about faith alone. Your works do not save you. It is your faith in God who worked on your account that saves you. They're all about faith. Grace was the third thing they were all about. It's all about grace to these Protestant reformers. It wasn't about buying indulgences that would forgive sins and get your loved one out of purgatory and pop them up into, you know, get them promoted into heaven. It was all about God's grace towards us that saves us, not about purchasing indulgences, not about doing good deeds. It was about grace, God's grace. They're about Scripture, faith, grace. They were all about Christ, Jesus above everything. They said, hey, if we're gonna talk about one person, the only person we're gonna talk about is the God person, the God man, Jesus Christ. And the last thing they said, this all of the universe is about is God's glory. Those were like the five, they're called the five solas of the Reformation. Scripture, faith, grace, Jesus, and God's glory. They're just going to do everything in light of God's glory. And today in this passage, we're actually going to see the heartbeat of that second sola, which is faith alone is what saves us. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5, is going to tell us we all as believers have been given this new role. He's going to talk about all of us are ambassadors of God, that we have this new role in our faith. And it's kind of crazy for us to consider that. This week, I was considering just that in personally in my own life. How incredible it is that I would be considered an ambassador for God. Hopefully you know what an ambassador is, but if you don't, it's someone that speaks on a king or a prime minister or president's authority. I mean, they literally speak for the king. They are that king's representative wherever they are. How crazy is it that the Bible tells us we were God's enemies before we knew him? Our sin had put us at enmity with God. A lot of us weren't yelling like, God, I hate you, you're my enemy. But our sinful patterns were saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't trust that you've designed me for yourself in this path. I know what's best for me. I put myself at the center of my life. And in doing so, we made ourselves enemies with God. And God now says, hey, you were my enemies. I'm making you my ambassadors. That's just crazy. You know, at our church, protection is kind of a big deal. Safety is a big deal. So like with every person that serves in kids, which is probably every single one of you in this room, based on how many kids we have, but you get background checked. And we do that for just safety protocol. I mean, an ambassador, you know, to be in our kids' ministry seems like it has like higher standards for being an ambassador for Christ. The enemy of God becomes the ambassador of God. What an amazing thing. So we're going to dig into this and go, what is God doing? Like, how can this be? And how incredible a grace that is in our lives. And I want us to see, really, this passage has a way of revealing the incredible love that God has shown us and how that's going to motivate every single part of our lives in this new role that we have as an ambassador of God. Man, many of you guys know the situation. It was made into a movie called 13 Hours, where one of our ambassadors was actually killed. It was a big deal because the representative of the United States, who represented the president and all his power, his authority, was killed in this big ambush. Again, it's been popularized through movie and news. I don't want that to go lightly on us. Anytime a representative of a king or a kingdom or a government is like killed or spoken to in a way, there's this sense of like incredible awfulness that happens. And again, I want us to remember this passage, God's saying, you're my ambassador. If anything happens to you, it's like they're doing it to me. It's just an amazing thing. So what we're going to do, I want to look at this. I want to see there's three things in this passage that Paul really gets at. And he says, look, the way that you became an ambassador is first, you were made new. The way we became ambassador was that we were made new. The second thing that happened to us so that we could become an ambassador for God is our status changed. Like everything about us, we were made new, and then we had this status change in our life. This is where we're going to talk about this doctrine of justification, which is the doctrine that you've been made right in front of God's sight. This is big to, again, the reformers. And the third thing that we're going to see is now, after those things, we have been given this new role as an ambassador. So follow me. In verse 17, he picks up this first thought that we've been made new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." The first thing that I hope everyone in this room knows is the Bible tells us that we have a problem in our lives called sin. We read that earlier in the service. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. The picture is the Grand Canyon. And man's on one side with his sin, and on the other side of the Grand Canyon is God, and his holiness has been broken through our sin, and it's this major chasm. And some of us have been attempting to get to God through our works. You know, some of us can jump a lot further than the other person. You know, Olympic long jumpers can jump a lot further than I can. The reality of the Grand Canyon, though, is you can't jump the Grand Canyon. I don't care if you're an Olympic long jumper or you're like me that has like no vertical. You fall short. All of us, all of our sin has made us all fall short of God's glory. We have this problem in our lives that's a real issue. And Paul says, here's the fix. You don't need to become better. You need to become new. That's what he's talking about. You don't need to become a better person to get right status between you and God. You don't need to become the Olympic long jumper. You need to get some wings. You need to become a new creation, right? You need to, something new has to happen for this bridge to be gapped. And actually, wings is a bad example because God's going to say, I did everything for you. You got to just, to become right with God, he had to make us new, not just make us better people. The Bible tells us here, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you trust that he took our sin on himself, that he, in his death, he paid for your sins, and that he accomplished what we could not in his death and resurrection, what does that mean? We become a new creation. This is the first point, is to, for this role as ambassador, how do we become an ambassador? First is we are regenerated. We are made new. We are this new creation. And if in Jesus Christ you have been made new, so many of us struggle with that verse. We struggle with this reality because we know last night, we know this last week, we know the sin that has stayed in front of our heart. It might be this morning when we're driving to church. If you had a mic in our car, you wouldn't have heard the best conversation. All of us, it's like, okay, I've heard this thing that we're made new, but I kind of don't feel like I live new. Like, what's going on with that? Like, it's so hard to believe that the old has passed away and the new has come. How does that work? Am I really new? Like, because it seems like the old seems to just stick with me all the time. Paul actually deals with this in Romans chapter 7. He says, all the time I do what I don't want to do. All the time. And then the very thing I want to do, I don't do. To like love people, I don't love them. There's this inward struggle in all of us. And Paul is saying there's a reality that being in Jesus Christ, you may not always feel new, but you are new in Jesus Christ. your reality as a new creation in Jesus Christ is not based on you. It is based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. See, look, if you felt like you should be a believer or that you're a new creation, you might be believing the very thing that's opposed to this passage. If you felt like the only people that feel righteous are the ones that typically are like, man, I'm a really good person. I do all these really good deeds. I never sin. It's people that don't understand grace. They think they're the holier than thous of this community. How do you feel like you belong to God in the kingdom of God? The only way you can do it is trust in Jesus Christ. You have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You have to trust that over your own feelings. So many of us, when we sin, it's like, man, I must not. I just can't. I've got to become this better person. For God to really love me, for God to really like me, I need to become. And God says, no. You don't have to become better. I made you new. The old person is passed away. The new person's here. If you ever read the book of Romans, which I would really encourage it, you see a couple times where Paul talks about his sin as not even being part of himself. He's like, it was not I that did it, but the sin that lives within me. I mean, he so identified with Jesus Christ when he sinned, it was like that wasn't himself. His new creation was a new reality, and his sin was just something other. He believed in Christ that much. That's what I want us to, one, be called to this morning, is to trust God more than we trust ourselves, our own sin, our own voice in our head that says, no, this can't be true. God is saying, it's true. My grace is sufficient for you. Listen to this. Luther, in his 28th statement, not in the 95 Theses, but in the Heidelberg Disputation, listen to this. This is what he says. I think this is beautiful. The love of God does not find that which is pleasing to us, it creates that which is pleasing. The love of man comes into being through that which is pleasing to it. I'm going to read it one more time, okay? The love of God does not find that which is pleasing to it, but creates that which is pleasing to it. The love of man comes into being through that which is pleasing to it. This truth is like an incredible reality. What he's saying is the love of man, what happens is we like something, it pleases us, and so our love comes to that thing. Have you ever been so disgusted with something, it kind of almost makes you want to vomit, and then you go, I love that. No, the love of man does not work like that. If we're not drawn to it, if it's not pleasing to us, the love of man doesn't work like that. It doesn't work by the unattractive thing or the disgusted thing that we're looking at. Go, you know what? I love that. The love of man works so different than the love of God. So what is he saying? Because he says it's so different. He says it does not find that which is pleasing to it. It creates that which is pleasing. Our sin had us in a real dilemma. We weren't really pleasing to look at. But the gospel in God's word says God's love came into our life, and he wasn't pleased with us, and so he loved with us. He loved us, and so then we pleased him. It created a pleasing person. God's love was poured out to us in Jesus Christ. It found that which was unattractive, that which was not pleasing to him, but when his love was poured out upon us, we became pleasing to him. as a new creation, his love is just so different than ours. And that's why it's so hard for us, because in our mind, our love is always like, this pleasing thing is the thing I love. And so when we see us being not right, when we see the way we treat our spouse, the way we treat others, the way we think of others, and it's the sin is so easy in our mind to see, we go, I must not be loved, because that's the way we relate to other people. The love of man sees the things as pleasing and loves it. God loves it, and that thing becomes pleasing. Do you see the difference? Does that make sense? We are attractive to God because he has loved us. And it created this thing which was pleasing to him. We're not pleasing to God just because we're really good people. We're not. That's not how it works. God's love has changed us. It has created us, and it has made us new in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Amazing reality. So he creates us new, and then he gives us this new status. Let's look at this. This is actually at the end of the section in verse 21. He says this, he says, for our sake, he made him, which is, this is Jesus, he, God, made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we're new, what do we become when we're new? This is what we become. This is what Martin Luther called the joyful exchange. There is no greater exchange than this. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So what happens is God sees our sin. He sees the bind that it puts us in. The Bible tells us that the wage of sin is death. The result of sin, what you get paid, a wage. If you have a job, you get paid a wage. What do you get paid? Death. If you sin, the wage of that sin, the Bible says, is death. So there's some real issues that we had. Our status was not good. And Paul says, here's what happens when you become new. This exchange takes place. Jesus gives you his paycheck, and he takes your paycheck. He took all of our sin. He took the past, present, future sins that we did, and he took it upon himself. And what did that equal? Death. That's why he had to die. He couldn't just come down and do, you know, 15 jumping jacks and God go, okay, that was exactly what humans needed. That wasn't the paycheck of our sin. That wasn't the wage of our sin, was you have to do jumping jacks. It was the wage of our sin was death. That's what separated us from God. Was this death was in our way. And Jesus came and he took that death for us. And what does he give us? He gives us his righteousness. When we become a new creation, not only do we have just our sins forgiven, which is like we're made completely kind of neutral in some ways, morally neutral, or okay, I don't have any sin. Now, Jesus says, I'm going to give you all my righteousness. So when God sees you, if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness on your account. That's an amazing thing. A good picture that you can think of when you think about this, and this is again, this doctrine of justification. This picture of justification, which is being made right. This is how God makes us right for him. An old way, in a way that even Luther used, is a story of a king and a prostitute. The story begins with this prostitute, that her life, as many, was just an incredible struggle. Not only was she from a broken home, but she did herself of her own volition just a lot of broken things. and it led her in a very sad way to this reality of life where she existed and got her pay from selling herself. I mean, completely demeaned, completely low. And her life was a mess in just many and many ways. But one day a king was coming by and he sees her. And he set kind of his eyes on her and he started treating her not like a transaction, but like a human. And he started pursuing this woman. And he would speak to her and give her gifts and just pour it out this incredible love on her until one day he asked her to be his wife. And on their wedding day, when she completed their vows and the service, her status was changed. She was no longer a prostitute. She was a queen. That's our story. That is the doctrine of justification. It is we who were broken, who had debt beyond debt, that we owed an amount that we could not pay, and we were unloved. No eye pitied us. But this great king came in to our lives. And we were transformed. Our status has been changed. Once that marriage takes place, the prostitute becomes a queen. That is a good picture of the doctrine of justification. The way we're made right with God is by faith alone. Faith that Jesus Christ accomplished what we could not. That he took us as his own bride and he married us. And in that marriage, we are now made new. He has made us a new creation. He is, all our debts have been paid, which that's our sins, they've been forgiven. But now the queen's wealthy beyond her wildest imaginations. It's not only that her bank account at zero. No, her wealth, she could never outspend it. Her identity is no longer prostitute, it is queen. So many of us, it's hard for us to imagine that. It's really hard for us to imagine that our status has changed in that way. That, wait, we're no longer just not only sinners, but we're like righteous. That's what Jesus says to each of you this morning. My death, my resurrection has forgiven all your sins, and you have my righteousness. I knew no sin. I took all that sin. I became sin for you that you might become the righteousness of God. That is amazing. When we understand that we are made new and that we are given a new status, that we're a new creation and we have this new righteousness on our account, that when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, man, that transforms us. That makes us into the best type of ambassador. If someone's going to speak for God, who wants to speak for God? Someone that's been a new creation and have a new status. That's the best person to be an ambassador. And that's what we have in this passage. In verse 20, we get to see this new role. So he says, in verse 20 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The best ambassador is the one who knows they didn't just become better. they were made new. And also, they're the ones that know, God's not counting my sin against me. He's given me his righteousness. God sends out those people and says, all of us, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador for God. And I think it's an incredible thing that the passage tells us, actually in verse 19 too, it says this twice basically, that God speaks through us. I mean, it's incredible how it states this. Listen to this. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. How awesome is that? That when we speak to people about God's incredible love to them, it is not just us speaking. God is imploring others. He is appealing to others that are there, be reconciled to me. I mean, can you imagine that? The God who created all the kingdoms, all the stars, the God who is in charge and in complete control of this entire universe, speaks through us and implores people to come to him, to be reconciled to him. In verse 19, the message there is so awesome. In verse 19, it says this message is, of reconciliation, is that God is not counting your sin against you. What an awesome message that we have. And that has happened to each of us when we were made new and given a new status. You know, we could sum that up as God's not counting our sin against us. He's not counted against us. And crazy, now he's counting Jesus' righteousness towards me. How awesome is that? But for so many of us, we're not living like ambassadors. And so, that makes me wonder, do you believe you're a new creation? Do you really believe your old past, that your past has not defined you? And to be honest, even your present doesn't define you. That the reality of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is actually what defines you. And two, do you believe you're righteous? If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the righteousness of God on your account. If you believe that you're a new creation and you have God's righteousness, I just think you're going to be an ambassador. You're going to walk in this role. Every single one of us is an ambassador for Jesus Christ if we have faith in Jesus Christ. And so what I want to ask you is, how's that going? Are you involved in that? We talk about this with this move. We really want every single one of us to consider who they're loving, who's their loved one. I want to ask you to think about that today. Do you really have a person that you're praying for, that you want to come to know Jesus Christ? Don't take this now. Don't take that like, hey, are you really going to look for someone to love and be like, okay, I'm going to do that and then God's going to love me. Nope. He loves and he's pleased with you. His love is what creates that pleasing. It's not that you have to do this thing and tell someone about Jesus' love and then he's pleased with you, right? No, he's pleased with you. His grace is on you already. Let that motivate you. We are ambassadors. He has made us into his mouthpiece, his representative. If something happens to us, it's as if it's happening to God himself. That's how he views us. And he is behind us 100%. I want to challenge us to walk out that call, to walk out that role, to know that you are new, to know that you are righteous. And to go tell somebody that God's not counting their sin against them. Be friends with him. He's friends with them already. And that's an amazing message. I want to challenge you. If you don't know how to share faith, those are some of like my favorite conversations to have. So if you want to talk about, man, I don't know how to talk about Jesus to others, I would like to talk to you about it. We have a few folks in this room that love talking to others about Christ too, that I could get you connected to as well. I want to help you. If you don't know how, we can get that to you. Or for some of you, you might need to go back a little bit and say, honestly, I don't really know if I'm new. I want you to listen to Jesus this morning and his message, which is God is not counting your sin against you. He came so he could be reconciled to you. Why don't you take that first step today and put your faith in him? Be reconciled to him today. Today can be the day that you meet your Savior and know him. Would you do that if you don't know him? Put your trust in him today. Become a new creation. Watch a prostitute become a queen. That's an amazing reality. Let me pray for us. God, I'm just amazed at how you have accomplished what we could not, and you did it in the most amazing way, which is that you sent your own son to take our sin that we might become the righteousness of God. God, this morning, that fact is just almost too hard to believe sometimes. God, would you help us remember that our feelings do not control the reality that you have done in our lives? Help us trust your word over our word. God, help us this morning to really walk in the role that you've made us, which is to be ambassadors of your kingdom, to be a kingdom of priests everywhere we go, to love and to love you and to love others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.